Welcome to Census Pod. We're delighted to have with us a special guest today, Dr. Aubyn Stamer. She is a research scientist at the Child and Adolescent Services Research Center, an associate project scientist in the Department of Psychology at the University of California, San Diego, as well as a research director at a children's hospital that works on autism. We know Dr. Stamer because of her work at UC Davis and her association with the MIND Institute, which is a partner for us at Census Cultural. Welcome. Dr. Stamer, thank you for joining us today. Can you briefly share with our audience what your current position is and offer an overview of your work in the field of autism and neurodevelopmental disorders and its impact?
Thank you very much for having me today. I am the executive director of the MIND Institute at the University of California, Davis, as you said, and I've been in this position for just a couple of months and feel pretty honored to be leading this incredible interdisciplinary group of researchers, clinicians, and trainees. My work in the field of autism over the past 30 years has really involved looking at autism interventions, behavioral interventions, and interventions that help young children and their parents learn better communication skills and to be better learners. And recently, the focus of my work has been on moving those evidence-based interventions that were developed in research settings into the community. So we work a lot with schools and community mental health clinics and early intervention organizations to try to adapt interventions to work in public service systems to increase access to care. And we also are doing a great deal of work here at the MIND Institute and in my work in community-based participatory research, where we have autistic individuals, parents, and community providers and other people with interest in autism and neurodevelopmental conditions working with us to develop research questions and procedures so that the questions we're answering and the work that we're doing are important to the field.
How important is stem cell and gene therapy in autism research in terms of future therapies? And could you briefly tell us a little bit about your interesting work on early intervention development?
Thank you for your interest in our work. The interest in stem cell and gene therapy in autism research is something I've been learning about recently as I've come into this new role. So I spoke with some of your partner researchers here at the MIND Institute, Dr. Rondi Hagerman and Dr. Paul Hagerman, about this, as well as some other MIND Institute researchers who do this kind of innovative work. And so the first thing to note is that autism is a behavioral diagnosis with accompanying characteristics that can come about through many different genetic and environmental mechanisms. So there's not one thing that is causing people to be identified as having autism. And so identifying that and targeting the specific mechanisms is a very sensible way of approaching autism and accompanying characteristics. So similar to cancer, and the treatment and the success of specific gene therapy strategies depends on the kind of cancer cell being targeted. And so gene and stem cell therapies can lead to medications for certain characteristics of autism, as well as other developmental conditions such as Fragile X. And it gives us a deeper understanding of the genetic basis of autism. And then we can develop targeted interventions that can potentially address some of the underlying mechanisms related to specific characteristics. So things like communication skills, cognitive functioning, sleep. Similarly, stem cell research can be used to modify immune response and potentially alleviate some of the immune system challenges autistic individuals have. Or things like gastrointestinal challenges in autistic people. And so we want to think about what genes are working on which characteristics that we might want to address. And my work has been in early intervention, and one of the things that we know is that we need to individualize the specific intervention strategies, behavioral or educational, for the child in front of us, that the interventions work, but they have to be tailored to the needs of the person. And so we are not that great behaviorally at saying this child has these observable characteristics, here's the intervention to try first. But genetic research may actually help us understand which interventions work for which autistic children or people based on their genetics. We could potentially provide better support for educational and mental health services, as well as thinking about medications, if we can have enough data on which of these interventions works well for which people. And so I think it's also important to understand that these gene and stem cell research are in the early stages. We don't have one specific approach for all autistic people, and we need to get to a point where we're testing safety. There are also some ethical considerations, I think, that are very important about misuse of genetic information, discrimination against autistic individuals and their families, and the idea of using genetic manipulation to cure autism due to societal pressures to modify individuals with autism that might impact their autonomy and identity. So I think we really need to consider all that in this important innovation as we're moving forward and include autistic people in our understanding of what the next steps are.
What advice would you give organizations like our Census Cultural to expand our partnership with the MIND Institute?
Thank you so much for this question. I love this question because the MIND Institute is really working hard to build greater collaborations with lots of different community organizations and people so that we can better understand what the community is looking for in terms of research and clinical services and training. I know that your organization is very interested in this kind of research, and our research here at the MIND Institute is done through our interdisciplinary research teams. So oftentimes, one of the ways that community organizations partner nicely with the MIND Institute around research is working directly with researchers who have interests similar to that organization's interest. And so partnerships can take lots of forms. Community organizations can help guide different research by providing input into what the community is looking for, sharing information, helping engage different communities in participating in research, and also helping look for funding for different kinds of research that are important to both MIND researchers and the community. The other thing that I think is really important in terms of partnerships is we want to move the research findings into practice so that all these new innovations are accessible to everyone, and community organizations really are the way that we do that. And so partnering in figuring out how to make sure that what we're learning reaches the community more quickly than it has in the past is a great way to partner. It's a goal of the MIND Institute as well to include autistic individuals and advocates in the research process to ensure that the research is relevant and conducted in an ethical way. We have several autistic individuals on advisory boards and research teams, and our autistic researchers participating here as well, which is really a great way to make sure our interventions focus on things that are meaningful to autistic people, like quality of life and addressing specific needs and challenges, as opposed to in the past when we were looking for a cure. And I think it's really important to remember this, especially as we're looking at genetic types of research. And so I guess overall, we love to partner with community organizations, and I think that we can do that best by sharing mutual information, understanding what organizations like yours are looking for in terms of research and clinical practice, and looking for areas of overlap where we can work together to move the field forward in ways that then quickly reach the community.
Thank you. Finally, in your opinion, how can the global network of autism research be strengthened?
I think that the global network of autism research is doing a good job of communicating across different research teams. And I think that is the way that we strengthen the network, by collaboration across research sites, across disciplines, across countries. And so, like I said before, we want to include autistic people in the development of these networks and autistic researchers in conducting this work. I think that we need to build an infrastructure for communicating across projects and collaborating so data can be combined to better understand how we're characterizing autism, how interventions work, and for whom they work. We've got lots of different cultures, different genetic makeups, different countries, and we really need to get a better understanding of how to individualize available treatments as well as new treatments that are developed, to know who they work for and in what context, and also to help us understand how we can change environments and contexts to better support autistic individuals. So we want to link people with the appropriate intervention more quickly to address the needs specific to them. And big data sets are going to help us do that. And the only way we're going to get diverse data sets is if we really collaborate in building those across the world. This means building capacity, especially in low and middle income countries, for conducting autism research in rigorous ways, building a professional workforce that has the training, the tools, and the equipment needed to do the work in different places. And again, understanding what's important to people in those places in terms of research questions we're asking. Historically, most of our populations who we are studying are people from higher income countries, white people, people with high socioeconomic status who are willing to participate in research and able to. And so we need to include a broader range of people in our research studies, from different racial ethnic backgrounds, women and girls, people with intellectual disabilities, people who use alternative communication forms that are not verbally speaking, people of diverse gender identities, and multiple other diversities, to better understand autism in these groups and how to link specific supports to them in ways that improve their quality of life. And to do that, we need to include them in understanding what studies they want to be included in and how we can change our procedures, our typical research procedures, to make them more inclusive. I think that also we need a network of implementation scientists who can help take the innovations that are occurring in research settings and move them into the community and across the world, again, to increase access to these innovative findings in ways that work in these different locations, in different countries, with different languages, cultures, and economic backgrounds, and service structures, right? And so building all those networks, from basic scientists to community members, to implementation scientists, to intervention developers, working on teams together, I think is the best way to strengthen that network. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Stamer, for sharing your insights. We eagerly anticipate seeing how your work at the UC Davis Mind Institute will continue to transform autism research and community support. Thank you very much again, and we look forward to speaking to you soon.
Thank you for having me. We really value your partnership in our work, and I look forward to speaking with you soon as well.